Isaiah was a prophet of the 6th to 5th century B.C., a very critical time in the history of the nation of Israel. Israel was about to be released, or the end of the Babylonian captivity, for 150 years. They were a captive people. They were a enslaved people. And so they were getting ready, I think, to return to Jerusalem to try to rebuild the temple and go, you know, back to the promised land. And Isaiah was a prophet of what I would say a prophet of the Advent, because in every Advent season we read heavily from the prophet Isaiah, because he talks about the coming of the Messiah. Isaiah chapter 11, I'll read beginning with verse 1, I'll go to verse 6. Hear the word of God. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips. He will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, faithfulness the stash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. Indeed and indeed. The word of the Lord. This is the first Christmas season that I recall in the Gregory house that we've done most of our shopping through Amazon. Now, Chris is the actual one that will actually get on the computer, get on the, you know, stuff and do that. I am still of the type that I like to still physically go to a store. I'm still of that generation, I think, where I like to see what I'm buying. I like to observe what's in the bins, or I like to observe what's on the shelves. But the amazing thing about Amazon is that, Phil, this is true, you can buy anything on Amazon. Anything. And the more amazing thing is that when you buy it, by magic, it is there the following day. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how that process works. But it's an amazing thing. I think Jeff Bezos, of course, the founder, is a gazillionaire many times over because he understands this basic fact of human nature. This is why Amazon is so successful. This is why we all shop. This is why we all shop more on the internet than we do at the physical places. Because he understood, as many retailers do, that when we see something, we want it. When we observe something, we want that thing. And we want that thing as quick as possible. Basic fact of human nature. It's called immediate gratification of needs and wants. Immediate gratification of needs and wants. And that's just the way our brains are wired. That's just the way we are as people. Now, you can call it sin. You can call it flesh. You can call it a fact of our fallen nature, and it's all true. But the way our brains operate is that if we see a cookie, we want that cookie. If someone offers you a cookie now, or if you wait 10 minutes, you can get three. If you want that cookie, you are having that cookie now. The same is true with my 1 and 20. If you want that money, then you want that money now. You really don't want to wait. And that's how Amazon works, because it realizes that when we see something, when we desire something with our eyes, we want that thing now. The problem is, of course, when we're dealing with God, when we're dealing with Christ, when we're dealing with the Bible, our perception of time is very different than God's perception of time. Many times when we pray, when we take a prayer concern to God, we assume that God is somehow physically like us, that God has a physical brain. Of course, he understands our needs and wants, And we sort of want God to address our needs and wants in an immediate nature. Sort of like going to the window at McDonald's. You want a milkshake, you get a milkshake. So we assume that when we take our faith life, our spiritual life, our prayer life to God, that God is going to answer us in the same immediate way, the immediate gratification of needs and wants that we get from the public sector or that we get from the shopping experience or that we get in life in general. We all like donuts. So if I want a donut, give me a donut. I like cookies. You want a cookie? Get a cookie. You want that stuff? Order it and it will be there tomorrow. Isaiah, we associate a lot with the prophecies of Jesus, the prophecies of the coming of the Messiah, the prophecies of God sending his Messiah into the world. But we have to understand that Isaiah prophesied 500 to 600 years before Christ. So Isaiah was making these promises of God that the people of God, the people of Israel, had to wait 500 years for. What if you prayed something to God? What if you had a prayer concern that you took to God? Or what if you had a desire, a wish, or want that you took to God? And God's honest response to you through the prophets, through the angels, or whatever, is that, I hear you, I understand this, but it's going to take 500 years. Would we be people of faith? Would you maintain faith with God in that particular type of context, in that particular type of situation? If God's honest, true, faithful response to us is that I understand your need, I understand your want, but you will have to wait for the fulfillment of this response or wait for an answer or wait for this, many of us will lose patience within 5 to 15 minutes. That's just the way we are. A few factoids to consider when we talk about prophecy, when we talk about the promises of God, when we talk about our prayer, you know, life. This is true in Scripture, and we know this for a fact, that God in his sovereign mercy and grace, God in his sovereign mercy and grace will always, without fail, respond to his people. Give me an example in time where God has not answered his people completely and fully. The people of God were in slavery in Egypt for close to 300 years before Moses ever came about. The people of God wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, even though God had promised them the promised land flowing with milk and honey. It's not that God sort of said you can't have that. But for 40 years, they had to wait upon the fulfillment of those promises. God, in his sovereign grace and mercy, will always respond to his people. He will always respond to our prayers, our hopes, and dreams. Maybe just not in ways that we expect or we anticipate. Lesson number two. Whenever you have a prayer, whenever you have a need, whenever you have a desire that you take to God in prayer, God is always on time. God is always on time. God is always on time on God's time, not on ours. And you really have to ask yourself this question. If you pray for something, or if you desire something, or you want God to do something for you, are you ever fully prepared for what God's response is going to be? I don't think we are, because we assume, wrongly, more times than not, that God is always going to respond to you in the way that agrees with you. You want something, you pray to God for something. We always assume we're good and faithful people. We go to church, we put our offering plate in, we've gone to Sunday school a lot. So we always assume that somehow God is honor bound or God is required to answer or fulfill our prayers in the exact way that we want, in the time that we want. Are you really ever prepared for what God is going to do for you? I don't think we are. Unfortunately for the people of Israel, they had to go through that process for 40 years in the wilderness. And even though Isaiah spoke 5-6 centuries before the time of Christ, it doesn't mean that God didn't keep his promises. For that 500 to 600 years, the people of God had to remain faithful to him. Number three, the only thing that God will ever ask any of us as Christian believers is faithfulness to him. The only thing that God will ever ask for from us in terms of our prayer life, in terms of our walk with God, in terms of our walk with Christ, is to trust in him and him alone. We fail on that time after time after time after time, because when we take a prayer, when we take a brokenness, when we take a sin, when we take something to God in prayer, and we perceive him as being maybe a little bit slow, or maybe hard of hearing, or maybe not responding to us in the way and hope that we want him to respond to us, the first thing that we lose is trust in him. And we seek answers in other ways. We seek pleasure and entertainment in other ways. We seek to solve our problems in other ways that are of not God in Jesus Christ. And it always gets us into worse situations and worse circumstances than we were to at the very, very start. Believe me, preaching myself more than preaching other people. Patience is hard. Patience is so hard. When I was a kid, and I don't know about your family, I went to the mall, Santa, just like everybody else. I put out my milk and cookies just like everybody else. And I recall as a little kid, I would whine and cry and complain, "Oh, Mom and Pop, how come Santa hasn't come yet?" And I saw the presents beneath the tree. But you know what? When you're a little kid, you don't really want to wait for a couple hours. You don't want to go to bed, You don't want to wait for the Santa to come down. So my mom and dad sort of, as a compromise, said, okay, to my brother and I, you can open one present. And I was very happy to open that present. But you know what? I wanted to open all the presents there and then. That's just the way our people. When God provides us something, we want everything now. And patience is so hard. Believe me, I have three grandkids now. And so when my youngest Cece wants her mac and cheese, she wants that box of Kraft open now. Those noodles cannot boil fast enough. The little cheese thingies cannot boil fast enough. That's just the way it works, people. And so in many ways, our brains never develop beyond a 5- and 6-year-old. And I know, my friends, this is a very hard lesson to have, because even as mature, committed Christian people, all of us have something that we've taken to God in prayer. And, and that's different for each and every one of us. But think for a moment. What have you taken to God in prayer for the longest period of time in your life? Now, for some, that's just a couple weeks. Maybe for some, that's a month. But in 40 years of doing this, I've known people that have taken a need, a want, a hurt, a pain, whatever, to God in prayer for their entire physical lives. I've known people that have prayed about an issue or a problem or a situation for their entire Christian lives, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. Is it that God doesn't answer? Is it that God is slow? But maybe, just maybe, and ask yourself this question: who knows you better than you? God. Who knows the depths of your hearts better than you? God in Jesus Christ. And so as you pray, when you take your prayers and petitions for God, to God in prayer, maybe, just maybe, God in his sovereign grace and mercy, who sees all of our lives laid out before him in just a millisecond, it's like there, where God sees our entire lives from birth to death just right now. He is perceiving that right now. And he knows exactly when to intervene in your life. He knows exactly when to cause a miracle in your life. And maybe that time, whatever your situation is, maybe that time is not now. And that's the hard thing about faith. That's the hard thing about a Christian walk. That's the hard thing about God. That's the hard thing about having patience in terms of faith. Because if we truly honestly say that we trust God with our problems, that we give our problems over to God, well, then you give your problems over to God. I've seen many times that you give your problems over to God, but it doesn't seem to be working to your sense of working, so we try to claw those problems back. Sort of like you have a 50-pound weight on your back and it's weighing you down. You give that 50-pound weight over to God and Jesus Christ, but you're not necessarily pleased about how that's being handled, so you want to grab that 50-pound weight and put it back on your own shoulders, assuming that you can do a better job. We fail time after time again. And in our prayer life, we have to be honest with ourselves. Not every response that we are going to get back from God is going to be a thumbs up. Not every response that we get from God is going to be, okay, sure. Just how many of us are prepared in our lives, in our Christian walk, just how many times are we prepared for God's no? Honestly, we really have to prepare ourselves for that. Many times we will ask God for X, Y, Z, or we petition God for X, Y, Z, or in our prayer lives we want to take something to him, assuming that it's going to be always in the affirmative, always going to be on our side, always going to be the way that we want it. Well, if you read the Bible, if you know anything about faith, sometimes God's response is no. It's not going to happen. And then what do you do when that becomes apparent to you? What do you do with that knowledge? What do you do with that revelation? What do you do with that sense that God is not going to affirm whatever you want God to affirm? Or that sometimes God will just say no, it's not going to happen. Again, are you a God? Do you have the mind of Jesus Christ? Are you able to perceive your life and where your life is going to be? Are you able right now to perceive your children's lives, your grandchildren's lives, or the sweep of history, the sweep of creation? Are you smarter than God? Do you have more wisdom? So in faith, if we honestly take our prayer concern to God, we have to physically be aware that many times, sometimes, there will be times where God's response to us will be no. God is not a Santa Claus that just has bags of tricks. Where he just, okay, sure, here's this, you know, little Johnny and Mary. Sometimes God is going to say no to us because he knows better what happens if he grants that wish or if he grants that petition or if he grants that thing. He sees us and knows us. And every time that God says no, it's going to be because he wants to bless us in a different nature. He wants to take us to where he wants us to be. And sometimes that door is only going to happen. Sometimes that path is only going to happen. Sometimes we're only going to go where God wants us to be when he's going to say no to certain things in our lives. And that's hard. My friends, believe me, that is hard. Isaiah, who I believe knew the mind of God far better, you know, than us. I don't know whether Isaiah was physically aware or on the level of cognition or on the level of insight, was fully aware that it was going to take 500 years, 600 years from his words to Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, in the manger in Bethlehem. Joseph and the cattle and the angels and glory to God in the highest. God heard the prayers of his people for 1,000 years. God heard the prayers of Isaiah. But in his grace and in his wisdom, in the fullness of time, not our time, but God's time, in the fullness of time, God sent his only son, God sent his Messiah into the earth. From Joseph and Mary and everything else with Advent candles, you know. From everything from the manger to now is over 2,000 years. 2,000 years. 2,000 years of history. 2,000 years of faith. And my friends, some of us are still carrying on as if we are still waiting for the Messiah. My friends, know that God loves you. My friends, know that God cares for you and that God hears all your prayers. But do you, my friends, have the patience and the grace and the understanding to wait upon the Lord? For the fullness of time, he will come and bless and be with us, and he will give us a baby in a manger that we will call the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior. God has heard your prayers now and forevermore.